Welcome to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kyle Willard. As always, I am your host. Welcome to the show. I have to be honest, it has been crazy for the last few weeks. I've struggled to get this podcast done just because of it. You might have noticed different drop days. You might have noticed that YouTube actually fell behind for an episode for a little bit. And finally, we're to the point where a lot of that has been resolved. I'm going to have a little bit more time and be able to manage a little bit better. So my apologies. It has been 6 weeks of crazy family stuff and excitement, but we made it. We're there. We're ready to blast off. I am beyond stoked about the numbers from the audio side of this podcast, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, etc. Whoever's listening over there, thank you so much. Make sure that you hit those follow buttons. Make sure you hit those subscribe buttons. You know, definitely head on over to YouTube. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button. I don't even care if you hit the bell. Don't even care. You know, just if you want, watch it over there. I think that I have a cool intro and some graphics that are making it better. Eventually, we'll get into a little bit more on the production side, to be honest with you. Right now, simply putting in the production time to go into a full video production is a little rough. That's part of the reason that I haven't started the Twitch side of things. Eventually, that is coming. That is the plan at this point. I have pretty much solidified that. And I will occasionally have like after hours where I talk to other people and just kind of hang out and we go over software engineering topics, etc. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, it'll be fun to do live, to be honest. I'm going to screw up more often, so there's that. But I think generally it'll be a lot more fun to do stuff live. But yeah, so that's that. I'm going to take a couple minutes. We're going to have a side note. Usually I try and keep the excitement and the energy up as, you know, I start the show. Today we're going to deviate from that a little bit. And I apologize for the deviation, but I think that this is a super, super important topic. You know, I have a friend who's been struggling and I want to address what he's struggling with, you know, and make sure that you guys kind of know the resources too. So if you're struggling with mental health or addictions, get help. Just for the love of God, get help. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're hurting yourself, you're hurting those around you. And it makes far, far more sense for you to just simply get the help you need. Plus, you'll be happier. You know, COVID really put a hurt on a ton of people in regards to both mental health and addictions. And the reality is that if you need help, get it. There are a ton of memes about drinking heavily during the lockdowns and during the work at home portions of the pandemic. We've kind of slowed down on those a little bit and more people are returning to, you know, a more office setting. You know, unfortunately, during that period of time, a ton of people did actually, you know, get to the point where they were drinking heavily on a daily basis. And unfortunately, that's how addiction starts. You know, mental health and addictions aren't a meme. They're not a joke. You know, and we have an extreme spike in the United States right now. And it's important that if you're in a dark period of time and feel like there's no out, reach out, you know, for example, to the suicide prevention hotline. You know, they have quality folks that are ready to take the time to talk it out with you. I'm not sponsored by anybody. This is 100%, you know, free advertising for them just because legitimately it's important and I give a damn and I want each and every one of you that are listening to continue listening. So, I mean, part of it is selfish. I want you to keep listening. But the rest of it is that, you know, your life and the lives of those around you are valuable. So I'm going to say their phone number a couple times here. The suicide prevention hotline phone number is 800-273-8255. That is, of course, inside the United States. It is, again, national. 800-273-8255. I hope that each of you reach out if you need it. You know, take the time, pick the phone up, make the call. if you're dealing more with addictions and just, you know, general mental health issues, reach out to your local health departments. Reach out to your primary care providers. You know, if it's a little bit more critical, for example, if you've got bipolar and you're kind of in a manic or a depressive spin, make sure that you go to an urgent care or a ER and have them help you get the resources that you need to take care of that. You know, obviously there's a lot of stuff, you know, around this. This is a very complex issue, but we've had far too many deaths. Let's do what we can to avoid that. Let's shift gears though. You know, I've talked about resumes. I've talked about portfolios. You know, I've talked about a ton of different stuff at this point. I mean, this is officially episode 10, which means it's the 11th episode because we started at the zero index because I'm an idiot and I wanted to make things harder on myself. But the actual topic this week is going to be portfolio projects. I want to make sure that while, you know, we spend a ton of time on portfolios, we also spend a ton of time talking about what projects to include in those portfolios. And, you know, it's going to get harder for me as we keep going to find topics and add stuff to it. And that's okay, because I want to make sure that we front load the podcast as we start with as much important stuff as I can, so we can come back to it throughout the years and we can actually revisit it and make sure that everybody's up to speed. The point here is that this is an educational podcast as much as it's to be entertaining. For a lot of people, I'm sure it's super dry, and that's fine. But, you know, I want to make sure that we put everybody on their best foot and they have the best opportunity to get a gig. So we're going to start with what not to do, right? You know, what not to build, what not to add to your portfolio. I think we need to get these out of the way first so we can spend a little bit more time talking about what to do so that we actually, you know, get you hooked up. Okay. Number one, toy projects. Okay. Toy projects are going to be smaller projects, right? They're going to be things that are going to be teaching a specific concept that you see more often than not in like boot camp or university settings or just like learning on your own. They're the little tiny projects that you put together. They usually take, you know, less than an hour, you know, most of them probably 15, 20 minutes, you know, but we've seen them all, right? We've all done Instagram clones. We've all done calculators. We've all done all sorts of stuff that recruiters and hiring managers are going to see on a daily basis that really aren't things that we should be sharing. So let's not do that. Okay. You want to stand out. And unfortunately, what toy projects do is they show your experience very, very clearly. And that experience is none, right? It shows your inexperience. We want to project our expertise and our knowledge, not that we don't know anything. We don't want to, I mean, even if you're right out of boot camp, even if you're right out of, you know, university, or, you know, you just spent the last year learning how to be a programmer, you don't want to project that. You want to show your expertise. You want to show your abilities in a much better fashion. So the next one is going to be tutorial projects. And, you know, there's a lot of great instructors on Udemy and YouTube. You know, a big one is Clever Programmer over on YouTube that does this. And then pretty much every Udemy instructor, whether it's Colt Steele or any of the others, you know, they all do this. Okay. And that is that they're going to walk you line by line all the way through a project to teach you specific things. Instead of using toy projects, they're going to use a larger project to just walk you through the various things that you need to learn. That's fine for learning, but that's not something that you want to put on your resume. First and foremost, recruiters are going to know all about it. They've seen it 1,000 times, and people try and get a job daily with these same projects, which is really funny because that's actually something the Clever Programmer talks about over on YouTube, is to use his projects. I disagree on that. You know, if people can get a job using his projects, even though, you know, they basically hand it to you on a platter, more power to you. I'd avoid it personally. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's wrong. I'm just saying that you show off more expertise if it's your code, not somebody else's code, and you haven't had, you know, somebody line by line walking through it with you. So, I mean, those are the two big don'ts, right? I mean, obviously there's others, you know, don't plagiarize somebody's code, you know, don't try and take on more than you're able to actually deal with, stuff like that. But I think that those are pretty obvious, right? So what do we want to do? What's important to actually do? Be unique, be innovative, show your passion. You know, I keep saying these things and I really, really mean it. You know, I've beaten a dead horse with this one. You know, it is so critical to show that you have a creative edge and that you want to be the best in your field, that you want to learn, that you want to grow to be the best developer that you can for an employer that's willing to take a risk on you. Okay. So because of that, I've got a few ground rules, and it's not going to be too hard. You know, just take a breath. It's not going to be too hard, I promise. Here are the ground rules. And as you're trying to decide what projects you want either to include on your portfolio or just to build for it, you know, here are what I would say. First, number one, plan it out the same way that a stakeholder would, right? So stakeholder, real quick, that's basically your employer, whether it's a client when you're freelancing or whether it's your day-to-day, you know, whether it's Facebook or Amazon or what have you, right? They're going to be the stakeholders, whether it's your boss at a company or whether it is a freelance client. You are going to work for somebody 99.9999999% of the time. It's very rare for you not to work for somebody. And basically, you know, it's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's YouTube, it's Google, right? These guys that literally defined our industry are the guys that don't work for other people, right? And because of that, you're going to be subject to ensuring that you are meeting a stakeholder or your employer or your client's wants, needs, and desires, right? You have to be inside of their box. You can get as creative as you want as long as you're inside the box, getting them what they want and need. But the second that you deviate from that box, you're going to end up looking for something else or getting chewed on because it just doesn't fit, right? During the planning phase of the portfolio projects that you're going to do, make sure that you think from that perspective. What if I was building this for a client or for a stakeholder, how would they want me to build it? What features are going to be important, right? You know, in automotive sales, we actually have a technique. We take a piece of paper, we fold it in half. On one half, I have a customer write down every single feature that they want. On the other half, I have them write down every single feature that they can't live without. This is used a lot of times in new cars, more than used, but it's still effective, right? And the point is that it kind of narrows down what vehicle I'm going to put them in, right? It also is a sales technique to close the deal because at that point, I can cut out lesser vehicles that don't meet those requirements. And I tend to get people in a higher trim package and I tend to get people in a more expensive vehicle, right? And on the sales end, that's going to make you more money. It's the same thing here. You need to make sure that you're hitting those needs and those wants for your stakeholder. And right now, your stakeholder is whoever wants to hire you, right? Your stakeholder is you because you want to get a job. You know, a good example of this is if you're creating a social media app from scratch, make sure that you're making it for more than one user. Make sure that you can register a number of different users and that they have full CRUD for every single user, that you want to make sure that they can create it, read it, update it, and delete it. And you want to make sure that it's seamless, right? You know, make sure your schema is making it so your users can only interact with their own content, right? This is important, right? So if Facebook had sent Facebook out into a production level and I was able to interact with your posts while not being logged into your account And, you know, there's some real issues there. You know, imagine one politician going after another one and editing the other guy's posts to make them seem far, far worse than they are. Right. That's the extreme, right, is that we'd have some serious, serious issues. And realistically, you know, Facebook would have gotten sued under that, especially if somebody had exploited it. So that's the kind of thing that you need to think about, is what are going to be the issues that my users are going to have issues with? You know, make sure that you're building in timelines and versioning in your planning. You know, what would 0.0.1 look like? What would 1.0 look like? You know, I would honestly say show your planning. You know, if your planning isn't production grade, then neither is your code, right? You want to make sure that you are well planned out, that you're, you know, hitting your timelines, that you're hitting your versioning. And if you don't, make a notation and move that into the next sprint, right? You know, and that's the upside, is that you get to decide how fast you're moving on these projects. Because right now, your timeline is your timeline. Once you get into a job, you're going to be given timelines and you have to meet and exceed those. Right now, you get to relax a little bit and just get passionate with it, get creative, and have fun. So that's number one. Plan it out like a stakeholder would, or like you have a stakeholder in that situation. Okay. Number two, show your expertise. Okay. Portfolio projects aren't there to show what you built. They're there to prove that you have the ability to build something, right? You know, if there are developers involved in the hiring process, which there almost always are, they're going to be taking a very cold, hard look at your code and ensuring that you're meeting their standards. They're going to be looking at how you manage different API calls, what kind of state management you're using. Are you using hooks? Are you using lifecycle methods with React? Are you using async and await, or are you using just dot then? Are you dealing with errors in a clean and professional manner, or are you just simply console logging them? You know, there's a React example that I really want to hammer home. For most of us, when dealing with class components, and, you know, for most of us, we will be dealing with class components and lifecycle methods instead of hooks and functional components in React, right? That is the legacy way to do it. And most of the React projects that are out there, unless you're for a startup, are going to be using that older style of dealing with state and dealing with the lifecycle. You know, most people who recently went to bootcamp after, you know, hooks and stateful functional components came out, guess what? You've had that hammered home. You have a ton of experience with it. But the reality is that you need to be able to show and do both. And you need to have lifecycle methods and classes down to a T if you're going to be a React developer. You know, trust me, I get it. I vastly prefer hooks over, you know, class components and lifecycle methods. 100%, I get it. It's way less code. You know, I can kind of shove two or three of them into the same hook, and I can make specific hooks to do cool things. But the reality is that you have to show both sides. That's number two. Show your expertise. Number three. And this isn't for everybody. You know, there's some folks that this won't really apply to, but I think it's important to say, it's kind of like dressing for the job that you want, right? Cater to your sub industry. You know, if you want to work for a specific sub industry, make sure that your projects show that. You know, you shouldn't have to, in your intro, you know, biography portion of your portfolio, or in your resume, or in your cover letter, you shouldn't really have to say, I want to work in this sub industry. You know, instead, just show with your projects, right? You know, I'll take myself as an example. I have a ton of sales experience, and, you know, I was a sales manager and all that stuff. And so a lot of my projects are sales related and are specifically automotive sales related. I've got two projects on that right now. I also have experience with, you know, curriculum design and education with my last gig. So another one is like doing a learning management system, right? You know, I'm doing those to show my expertise, not only in on the code side of the aisle, but also my expertise as far as that field, that industry, because I'm able to combine both of them. So if you have that kind of situation, you want to show that off. You know, don't get me wrong. I think it would be far more fun to work more in like an esports or, you know, video game environment where I can make awesome sites working for one of the big publishers and, you know, doing that kind of thing, just because it would be rad to be able to say, hey, I work at one of these big studios. I think that'd be fun. But, you know, at the end of the day, I want to leverage my expertise and I want to make sure that I'm showing that. So what I'll probably do is eventually, you know, I'll make, maybe it will be a toy. Maybe it will just be a clone of one of the major studio sites, just for the hell of it, just to show off, hey, I think this would be fun. But, you know, that's the thing. I have to show the expertise. You can have playful stuff on there, but your focus needs to be being professional and showing your expertise more than just, you know, kicks and giggles. Okay. Number four, and I think this is just as vastly important as everything else. Have fun. If you're not having fun with a project, scrap it and move on to something that you're having fun with and come back to it. This goes into, you're working off your timeline, but if you're not having fun, if you're frustrated, if you don't want to work on that project because you hit a wall and you haven't gotten past it, and you don't have somebody that you can reach out to just kind of, you know, hop in and help you out, take a minute. Take a minute. Move on to another project for a bit that you're having fun with and come back to it. I'm not saying don't finish it. You don't want to have half-finished projects on your portfolio. But, you know, if you aren't passionate about what you're working on, it's going to show through. And sure, when you're working for an employer, you're going to be doing stuff that you're not passionate about. But right now, you have the opportunity to show off your expertise with things that you're passionate about. So make sure that that passion shows through. You know, I could go on for hours giving you 1,000 different rules. I'm not going to. That's the last one, right? Four rules. You know, and just to kind of recap, here are the four rules for you. Plan it like a stakeholder would. Show your expertise. Cater to your sub-industry of choice and have fun. You know, obviously, again, don't steal other people's code. You know, don't make yourself look horrible. Okay. But let's talk about where to find inspiration, because I think this is a big one, right? This might be a fairly short show. We'll see. But, you know, finding the inspiration to actually build stuff, you know, that's a big thing for a lot of people. And I think that is something that really does need to be covered. You know, be unique, be innovative, show your passion. How many different thousand times can I say that, right? Some of that passion is going to be from where you draw your inspiration. If you're drawing your inspiration from a rock, it's probably going to be pretty rocky, right? There's your pun for the day. There's your dad joke. But where do I find inspiration? So let's start there, right? And I think that you'll agree with these, and I think that this will make your life a little bit easier. Your friends and family, right? Number one, your friends and family. People that you care about. You know, if they have a small business, if they're running an e-commerce site, you know, if they are a musician, a tattoo artist, an artist of some other sort, you know, build them a site. You know, it's up to you whether you make them pay for it or not. You know, I would argue that you probably should, maybe at least a little bit, because they're going to be a little more, you know, it's like being given something for free versus having to pay for it. You're going to respect the thing that you're given for a price more than you would for free. You know, if they're not financially able to do that, they're a startup or something, obviously that makes sense, right? That's why you get to make that decision. You know, hell, it could even be like an event. You know, maybe it's a pumpkin patch that you want to do a really, really cool, wild, you know, Halloween theme for a pumpkin patch that your family puts on. Cool, do it. Take the time and do it. Make it as epic as you possibly can, right? Just make sure that it's production level code and you're doing things to the best of your abilities. And at the end of that, guess what? You're going to have another piece to put on your portfolio. Clone other sites. This is a fun one. And this is important, you know, because it's one that I struggle with, in part because you're never going to be one-to-one with the original site, right? You're never going to be able to fully clone Facebook. You can clone parts of it. You know, for example, I've seen pretty solid clones of the timeline. I've seen some clones of the marketplace, but you're never going to have the ability to do all of it without investing just a sheer epic amount of time. And you don't want to spend that much time on one project. I mean, if you do, like, more power to you, you're probably going to get a job really fast, but that's an insane amount of time to spend on one specific clone. You know, clones are there because it's fun to make things look like other things, right? You already have the inspiration because you visited the website. So it's not super exciting from that angle, but you can always take that clone and upgrade some of the features that are there with features that you like versus what they like. And the reason that's kind of fun is that you can take them to another level and make them just cooler than they already are. And one of the things you could do is if you have dream jobs working for specific companies, you could go in and clone applications or websites that they own to show that ambition and that drive to get hired by that company. I've seen somebody do it, built out a site that, would suit their needs, turned around and gave it to them. And I'll tell you, if a larger company will actively use your website because it's that cool, that's definitely going to give you some credibility in the industry. Otherwise, at the very least, it will show that you want to work for them, right? That all said, you can certainly just clone major sites. Just realize it's all been done before. I've seen 1,000 Facebook clones. I've seen 1,000 Instagram clones. In fact, an Instagram clone was one of the assignments that I did in the boot camp. So just understand that the more creative you are, the more you're going to drag people's eyes in. All right. Remember, so course and boot camp projects, you remember how I just blasted these and told you not to use them? Well, here's the reality. They have some decent prompts and you can use them. But what you have to do is you have to flesh them out to a next level so that nobody else in that boot camp and nobody that's already graduated that boot camp's already done it. Personalize them and make them 10 times better than they were. If you're assigned to build a blog out, build a full stack blog, add a database to it, who knows, maybe you add GraphQL to it, what have you, and, you refactor it into TypeScript or something crazy, right? Like, build it into a beast that you can show off. Because most of those assignments, let's be real, those are toy projects just to teach you. Again, you don't want to have toy projects, but if you flesh them out and make them, epic, guess what? Now it's an epic project that you added to your portfolio. If you're struggling with motivation, you're struggling to find stuff, this is what I'd do. Because at that point, you're just using it as a prompt, as an idea to start, and then you're building it out substantially better than they originally assigned. Compile all of your skills, right? So, for example, I'm a full-stack JavaScript developer with a specialization in React and Redux in the front. And, I've got experience using Material UI and React Strap. In the back end, I use Node, Apollo GraphQL, and I prefer Mongo, but I can rock a pretty awesome, Postgres database too. But, I also know TypeScript. I know how to do things without Apollo with GraphQL. I know how to use just standard JavaScript, right? So my job for me would be to showcase that in the front end, I can do, hooks and functional components, but I can also do classes and lifecycle methods, that I can use Redux, that I can use context API. These are all things that I know in the front end. Maybe I'll add Apollo client onto it, right? Maybe instead of Material UI and React Strap, I just do things with styled components or SAS, show off that I can actually build, componentized, production grade components without having Material UI or React Strap. These are all things that I can do, and I can showcase all of my skills, in the back end. Instead of using, maybe I have something with GraphQL, maybe I have something with Apollo, maybe I have just a standard REST. Maybe I use Mongo for one, I use Postgres for another one, and I use my SQL for the last one, right? Maybe I work on trying to put something together that shows microsystems a little bit. maybe I show that I love working in a team. So I have a bunch of team projects, you know, where there's five different people's names on it. And I can show off that I love working in a team. Maybe I'm good at leading a team and I'm the one leading that team. You know, these are all things that I want to show off to get hired. So these are all things that I can show off to get hired, right? You know, so let's say that I work in a team and I show off rocking a front end and, you know, I rock a hardcore back end. I have to also make sure that I can show that I can do these things individually as well, so that I'm not just showing that I'm leaning on other people's expertise. You know, that's definitely a thing too. But reality is that a combination of soft skills and, you know, programming skills put together are definitely what you want to show off. You know, we went over that with the portfolio episode that, you know, realistically, you got to show off both sides of that. I tossed a few links in here. They actually talk about more prompts for your portfolio. You know, so definitely look back at the show notes for the portfolio episode as well as today's, just because, you know, a combination of what I added today plus the stuff from that other episode, you're going to have a ton of different projects that you can look at. And, you know, feel free to explore. I mean, the reality is that this is on you guys. However you want to do things, this is you. My goal with JavaScript Lifestyle isn't to, you know, hold your hand and tell you exactly how to do it. Otherwise, I'd give you a list of things that people have already made that will just net you a job because they're intense. And to a degree, I did, you know, a hardcore clone of a major social media site where, you know, you have the majority of the functionality and it's production grade code. Like, sure. If you want to spend, you know, 1,000 hours putting something like that together just to get into the industry and you have the time to do it, more power to you. That's insane. And instead of just putting the project in there and putting the code in there, you might, you know, opt to do like a video walk around of the site, right? You know, show off all the stuff you put in, you know, show off that you didn't show off that you didn't copy anybody else's code, et cetera. You know, maybe do it with different libraries than they did. Maybe do it with, you know, TypeScript instead of JavaScript. Maybe use Apollo client instead of just pure GraphQL, you know, all sorts of different things. But make it you, make it your code, make it your passion, have fun with it, and go wild. The sky's the limit, guys. Don't waste that. You get to choose how hard you go. And as I always say, go hard. You know, and it's up to you whether you push hard enough to get a job. It's not up to the hiring managers, right? I know that seems backwards, but if you don't put the effort in, if you don't put the work in, then you're not going to get a job. You're just not. You know, that's why you need to show off how good you are. You need to show off how passionate you are. You need to show off how hard you're willing to go to get a job. You know, in closing, as horrid as this sounds, you know, you're selling yourself. You're selling your skills. You're your own best ally or you are your own worst enemy. Build from the heart, from a place of passion with a ton of brain or logic mixed in. Big brain stuff. Just make it work. Show your big brain moments, but also where your passion takes you to that next level. Work with friends on larger projects if you want. But make sure you have solo projects that you can show your own skills outside of a team setting. Your portfolio is part of that. So while, you know, I tend to advocate having a minimalist and concise portfolio, make sure you share the code. Make sure you show why your portfolio is rad. You know, there's also no reason why you can't refactor your code, your projects from, you know, base JavaScript to like TypeScript. You can't, you know, add GraphQL into a version or what have you. Show your code, show refactors, show that, you know, you can do things 12 different ways. You know, maybe you want a Python back in, maybe you want a C Sharp back in, maybe you want to leverage WordPress and PHP. Ugh, I don't really want to do that. But, you know, blow it up, man. Do the best you can. show off as many different angles as you can to prove that not only are you good enough to be in the industry, that you're one of the best. Show off what makes you stand above everybody else. You know, even if you take this podcast as just inspiration, as just a kick in the butt to get up off the ground and keep moving. Guys, ladies, everybody, here's the deal. It's on you. Step up, make it happen. Go get a job. Go get a gig. And the way you do that is you work. You work hard. Right now, until you get a job, you are working for one employer, and that's you. You're pushing to get a job, building a portfolio, showing up projects. You know, in my case, building a podcast, writing on Medium, you know, putting everything together and putting in the hours that are needed to make all these things happen. That is your full-time job until you work in the industry. You're your own boss. So if your boss is letting you sit down on the job and play video games for 40 hours a week instead of being in front of an IDE cranking out code, guess what? You got a crap boss and you need to get a better one. Okay? Part of programming, part of development is that a lot of times you're not going to have somebody sitting over your shoulder 12 hours a day. You know, there's a lot of us that are working remote. There are a lot of us that, you know, we see the inside of the office one or two times a year. Guess what? If you can't function on your own, if you can't moderate yourself in your time, you can't do that and you need to be in an office. And if you have to have somebody over your shoulder at all times, maybe this isn't an industry you want to be in. Okay? You need to be able to, you know, push on your own without any assistance. And that's one of the things that they're going to look at. You know, we could go on for hours, right? We really, really could. And, you know, most of the time I tend to babble, but in this episode, I'm going to be real. You guys get the point. I can sit here and I can hammer it away for a million years, but this should be a short episode. I shouldn't have to hammer home to get off your butt and go do the job. I shouldn't have to tell you where to find resources or how to find them. Okay. If you're done learning the frameworks and the languages, right? Like if you're done with the boot camp, if you're to the point where you're looking for a job, guess what? You know how to research. You know how to find answers. Stop screwing around. Go find the answers. Do the research that I've done. Take my information and the links that I give you as a starting point, as a launch pad, and take off. Do the work. You have to put in the hours. You have to put in the time. Just like while you're learning a framework and a language, you have to hack away for hours on end to get used to it and understand how it works and to have it click in your brain. Same deal, guys. You have to put in the time and the effort to actually have a portfolio, to actually have those portfolio projects, to make sure that you're doing the best that you possibly can. Okay? Yo, build the projects that you're proud of, because in the end, it's on you. Build the projects that reflect you and your passion and your skills. You know, I mentioned Gordon Ramsay, you know, you on a plate, right? The first thing he does every Hell's Kitchen season is signature dishes. Your portfolio projects, it's you on a plate. Make sure that it reflects it. Because guess what? First impressions, the first 5 seconds that a hiring manager is on your portfolio, guess what? They're going to love you or they're going to hate you. Or they're not going to know what to do with you. And let me tell you, if they don't love you, they might as well hate you. You know, go hard. Make sure that you give them what they're looking for. Make sure that you give them you on a plate. And make sure that you is the best damn meal that they've ever had. Okay? Anyway, guys, I'm going to shut this one down a little bit early. Usually it's 45 minutes to an hour. We're hitting that 40-minute mark. So we're going to shut down early. You know, make sure that you hit those like, follow, and subscribe buttons. Make sure that you go hard. Make sure that you're pushing to the ends of the earth to get, you know, the best you in front of these hiring managers. Make sure that you're always learning. You know what? I'm out. See you, folks. See you next week. Keep hacking.